My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one, two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Merry Christmas, Judy.
Happy Hanukkah, Mike.
It is a happy Hanukkah. I gotta say, last night was the first night of Hanukkah, and the game of strip dreidel. Oh, it's kind of all a blur now.
Hopefully, you lost.
But everybody was a winner last night. But boy, oh boy, was I getting dirty looks from my cat this morning.
Oh, poor Jeepster.
You love Christmas more than anybody I know, Judy.
I really do.
And I brought you a present today. I brought your Christmas present a little early.
I usually don't open Christmas presents early.
But I think this one is one you can begin to enjoy right now. I know that you, like I said, are so festive. I couldn't wait
I'm
one more second.
What is it? Is it a Christmas tree ornament?
Yes, it is. It's a very special
one. Oh, it's a Motorhead Christmas. Now we have to get a tree.
I couldn't believe what? You didn't have a
Where
tree.
I didn't even.
And wait, there's another one in there. There's
what?
Yes, there. It's his and hers for you and that awesome boyfriend of yours.
Spiro, I hope you're listening, although I highly doubt it.
Motorhead Christmas ornaments.
Motorhead Christmas ornament. Oh my God, this is the best thing ever, and it's like glittery. Do I have to put on my glasses for this? Oh my, it's a match set, but more beautiful. Red. Red is for me. The black is for him.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas,
Look
Judy.
At these. I'm passing them to our guests.
Our awesome guests.
Our amazing guests.
We have such a good show today. And by the way, I'm very excited about next week's show, too, our spectacular Christmas show.
Yeah, with Scream Along with Billy and a rabbi.
We actually booked a rabbi for next week.
Wow.
It's a Heritage Radio first. help us deal with our families and whatnot.
Well, Nick, you're actually ordained, aren't you?
I'm ordained.
I'm an ordained minister, too. Are you Jewish? No, you're not. Nick Gallo's not Jewish.
I'm not.
But anyway, our guest today are the incredibly awesome and very funny Joe Garden and Nick Gallo, both of Thing X, the scariest thing on the internet today.
Yeah, hi.
Welcome. Joe, you were here maybe a year ago in a completely different incarnation of your career.
I was here with Todd Hanson. We were talking all things Onion. That was about a year and a half. It was a nice summer day, as I recall.
Yeah.
And now we're here talking.
Now it's cold and gray, and you're no longer with the Onion.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
They're in Chicago.
Yeah, they're in Chicago, where they just got dumped on by a ton of snow. So.
Yeah, what the fuckers. How do they think they're going to get by without you?
I don't know. I mean,
how does that work?
I think that they'll get by so long as there's a new crop of hungry young people to come in and write fake news. They'll be able to get by. I think they're doing fine. They're doing great without me.
That's very diplomatic of you, Joe.
Thank you.
I read something of theirs for the first time in a long time that kind of bothered me this past week.
What was it?
It was the Chris Brown thing. I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was like not. I thought it was not on message. I thought it was off key.
I think I know what you're talking.
Chris Brown jokes. A lot of those floating around.
Yeah, it was like a thing about Chris Brown. Like, why do you like me? I'm a piece of shit. And it was just kind of dumb.
It seems a little late, too.
Let's face it, Joe. The Onion has lost its sparkle without you.
But it's still got some other really talented people. I don't know.
Who the fuck is this guy?
I don't. I'll be honest. I don't really look at The Onion that much anymore. Nick was at The Onion, too. He and I are in the same boat.
I was there for 5 years with Joe.
Wow.
Yeah. Nick is our. Anytime you saw a guy, anytime you saw me running naked through the office in the Onion, that was Nick who had to take the pictures.
I took so many photos of Joe's penis.
Did you get combat pay for that?
Ugh. No.
I don't think there's anything such thing as combat pay or pay. Really.
I like the idea of you running naked through the office. Last night, before the strip dreidel got out of hand, we were watching Duck Soup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Marx Brothers are just completely social anarchy, right?
Sure.
They're just lunatics. And I was thinking, that's the way I used to run my staff when I was doing porn magazines, right? I mean, it was really like that. We all had, like, bow and arrows, you know, suction darts and guns with suction darts. We used to show up at meetings wearing lab coats with clipboards, just anything to, you know, fuck with the status quo. And our bosses, like, encouraged it because the work was good, it was on time.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, every office to me I've worked in has been, like, so square, and people in cubicles, and being quiet and respectful and nice, and, you know, no one's cursing like we used to. What happened to that level of lunacy that used to be magazine writing?
I think with us, there's a certain... It depends upon the time, like, the workload. Like, if we have to get shit done, we have to, like,
The pants stay on.
Yeah, the pants stay on, and we're on
barely.
Message. but otherwise, it's you know, we just, like, I mean, our office actually, we do have a lot of fun. We're just like, it's weird where we're in an office and you actually, you know, I was doing The Onion for so long, it's like I'd be like, okay, that's funny, but now it's like when things, like, now I'm at the point where it's like I'm revitalized, and so, like,
and you're actually laughing instead of saying that's
yes.
funny.
Well, I always thought the more fun you had making the thing, it reflected in the pages, the more fun the reader would have at the end of the day. Because if you're enjoying doing it, obviously it's going to be a better product.
Oh yeah, and there's so much stuff we're enjoying in this, you know, with Thing X.
What the hell is this Thing X?
You know, here's the thing about it. It was really easy when I was at The Onion to be like, we're a fake newspaper. Bang, it's done. With Thing X, I guess I would just say we're a fake internal website for an evil corporation. But we're also, like, half that and half, like, internet portal. Like, we're a fake, we're almost like a fake Yahoo. So it's like you go there for all your information. But, you know, that was the original concept. Like, you'd go to thingx.com and it would be like, you'd have, like, your, you know, your lists of the, like, here's the top trending items and so on. And that, after a while, just stopped being, like, we had to dial it back because we realized we only had a writing staff of 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually became a writing staff of 5 people when we had a writer / editor who, as time went on, like, he was a video editor. So as time went on, he just went all, like, balls out into video editing. So now we're just like, there's only 5 of us writing, and it's just like a real,
that's still a pretty good staff. 5 funny people.
It's
5 funny people.
Yeah.
And part of the beauty of it, comparing it to The Onion, is that The Onion, we had to do things in a certain way, where now we could do whatever the fuck we want and however we want to do it.
Yeah, there's
That's crazy talk.
No, that's the best, right?
Yeah.
It really is. Like, we're, like, the thing about it is, like, it's very strange because we're part of Adult Swim. Like, Adult Swim is officially our boss in this. And that's, of course, part of Turner, which is part of Time Warner. And it's, like, working. But the thing is, we are such a minuscule, like, cog in the great wheel. They do not notice us. They don't care what we do.
Just wait till Ted Turner wakes up one day and says, who the fuck is Thing X?
Why are we bankrolling these hillbillies? What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, so stay away from the Jane Fonda porn tape, I would say.
Oh, he'd probably enjoy it now. They're divorced.
I mean,
you messaged me the other day. You said, have you actually seen the Jane
Fonda? Yeah, because I wanted to.
Ted Turner porn tape.
And there is one? Seriously?
No,
but we know at least 2 people, one of whom has been on our show, who has seen it. Well, you never heard about this? And I talk about
how
it.
How did I never hear of this?
Jane Fonda's
legendary.
She's pegging Ted Turner.
With a strap on.
Oh.
And there's another woman in this in the
now I know you guys
some,
are fibbing.
Hotel room.
No. Swear to God,
This is legit. This is legit.
She's pegging Ted Turner?
That's why I want to see it.
Apparently the money shot is when it falls out.
Oh.
Man, I did not know that much about it. I have to read.
I talk about it in Dirty, 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 but it's honestly a secondhand. Alan McDonald talks about it in his book, Prisoner of X.
Yeah.
And Mike McPadden, another former Hustler scribe and author of If You Like Metallica, and our friend and frequent guest, has also seen the tape. They were there when it came in. It comes into the magazine, and someone's got a videotape that says, I want $1 million. Because, you know, $1 million is always the number. And they settle for $5,000. Ain't that the way it always is?
Don't be greedy. I mean, although, how do you... Yeah, boy. I mean, I think it's... Well, I told this to a friend of mine. I explained what the contents were, and he was like, he got kind of quiet. He's like, my dad actually dated Jane Fonda for a while, so I'm not really sure if I wanted to know that.
Yeah, more about dad's rectum than you ever need to hear.
All right, and for my next act, sex lives of our parents.
So how fun is it to go into an office? I worked for Turner for a while freelance, and man, that money just kept flowing. I loved that. And I was just like, I felt like I was on borrowed time every week when I'd turn in a column. And but you're well financed, and you get to go into a job and just be funny all day.
Well, it's good because we have. I mean, Nick. This is speaks to Nick more because he's producing. You know, he's producing everything, and you know, we have a tight budget. Like we shoot things on the cheap, and that's why they like us. But at the same time, if we're like, we need this camera because we can't, like, you know, we can't do everything on just one camera. It's like, okay, well, I guess you guys got to get a camera because you've got to get your work done. So that's the great thing. Whereas before in The Onion, it was like, well, you know, I got a buddy. He can loan you. He can loan me a camera between 3 and 5 and just make sure it gets back. I mean, everything was just, you know, so it is nice to have that, like, that unending source of, it's not an unending source of revenue.
We were able
to
put a lot of money up front and get all the equipment that we need.
That's amazing.
So
yeah.
I could just go out and shoot whatever we want. We have it all. So it's great.
Yeah, there's no scrambling. It is really good. It's weird. Like, I never thought I would be sitting here, like, in anything talking about, like, how great it is to work for the man. it's fucking great. I love working for the man.
Those suits at Adult Swim aren't leaning on you too hard, apparently.
We take those seafoam cubicles to a whole nother level.
Mike Lazo basically said, you got 2 years to figure to get your voice together. You know, you got to figure things out. So you got 2 years and. So that's been
so reasonable.
I know. He's a maniac. I mean, as far as he's reasonable and he's like he's clear headed and he's a little bit of a nut, and I could listen to him talk all day.
So how does it go? You guys have this idea in a market that's very crowded with people trying to do comedy portals and, you know, new web venues and whatnot, how do you guys come and say, we want to do our thing? I mean, this is a high risk business. So many people have tried and failed. And those that are doing well, I guess College Humor is still doing pretty well, and obviously The Onion does very well. How do you, you know, join that crowd, you know, from ground zero?
I think part of it is that we have a good, like, we all worked well together, so that's, we have that going for us. Like, the chemistry is already there. We already know how to work deadlines and how to, like, work well together. Part of it is that we share the same kind of weird vision. It's like, we all, like, there's very few times where I'll just be like, that just isn't funny at all. I mean, we're usually all on the same page, so everything, like, so we have this... We have this vision that was, like, sort of forged by The Onion and by doing really smart, sharp satire. But at the same time, we could do, like, smart, sharp satire, and we could also just do this crazy shit that we'd come up with that we never had an outlet for. So that's the thing. We have, like, years of crazy ideas that we could never work on before that are now starting to come out. And a green screen.
Oh, wow.
Green screen is awesome. So endless. I can come over and, like, you can make me, like, fly through outer space.
Oh,
and stuff.
Definitely. Let's do it.
Judy, let's go fly through outer space over at Thing X.
Oh, that'd be great.
Let's get weird.
Mike and Judy in space.
we actually had this, one of the things we're doing this video called The Boy Who Flew, and it's our first piece of, like, serious animation, in that we have it, it's claymation, but it's being done by this, like, crazy. He's not crazy. He's actually this. He's just this 18-year-old kid, homeschooled, really kind of.
Okay,
like,
probably a little crazy.
He's
a little
crazy
on the spectrum.
Come on.
He's so sweet. He's such a sweet.
We flew him out here for the launch party the other night. Yeah, it was insane.
It was like he was, like, wearing a bow tie and suspenders, and it's just like, you're so cute. Oh, we're so evil.
Do they take Asperger's out of the new DSM manual?
I think they've expanded it.
Yeah, they've expanded
it.
I think it's just now on the spectrum, or it's included on the spectrum.
Yeah, it's like broad autism spectrum. Right. Yeah.
An offshoot of the spectrum.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think that comes out in next year, I think. Already lines are forming to get the next
something
to
look forward to.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things that they took out, too. But yeah, we don't need to know about
Heritage Radio employees.
But they put homosexuality back in, which is like, what the fuck?
Sick fucks. Hey, you know what, guys? Let's take a break. When we come back, we have a special guest. We have a call-in. We have Paul Koudinaris, who's the author of Empire of Death, and he's going to talk to us about Sicilian sex ghosts.
What?
Sicilian
sex and ghosts all in one. He's going to be in town lecturing next week, and we have him calling in to tell us just what the fuck it all means. So it's Mike and Judy here on the Heritage Radio Network. Let's take a quick break. See you in a few minutes.
Sounds kind of hot.
You're listening to Rite of the Ancients by the Budos Band on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Okay, we're back. It's Mike Edison with Judy McGuire.
And pizza.
And the pizza's arrived. Christmas pizza, Hanukkah pizza.
Mm.
And our awesome guests from Thing X, the thing that is going to destroy your future. We have the very funny Joe Garden and Nick Gallo. And also on the phone, we have Dr. Paul Koudinaris, author of Empire of Death, to talk about Sicilian sex ghosts. What's up, Paul?
I am well. How are you guys?
We're good. Okay, what's it all about, the Sicilian sex ghosts? Are they going to come haunt us?
Well, I don't think they're going to come haunt you unless you're in Palermo, Sicily. When I had written The Empire of Death, I had traveled around the world and photographed charnel houses and these kind of liminal spaces where the dead are congregated. And I had come up with a tremendous amount of folklore, and especially in Sicily, there were just these copious stories of these ghosts whose mummies were in the catacombs, who would then leave the catacombs and travel around town performing lascivious actions on people, castrating people, sodomizing them with a candelabra. Oh, yeah, steal. One of them, there were legal charges brought against one of the ghosts for stealing panties from some woman in the 19th century. And they actually got a court injunction to prevent the ghost from leaving the catacombs, and the ghost violated this injunction and
apparently
went
there
to the girl's house and stole her panties, and so they threatened the mummy with reburial. And
Sicilian ghosts have no respect. No respect. So Judy, have you ever had sex with a ghost?
No, but I've had two ghost experiences, and everyone thinks I'm mental because of it. Do you believe in ghosts?
Do I?
Well, me personally, or the co-host?
Yeah, you.
The co-host.
I believe that something exists. I don't know whether we'd call it a ghost. I mean, you know, back in the day, they'd call it a demon, or they'd call it something else. You know, when I started looking into the sex ghosts, one thing that I made a correlation with, if you look at ancient mythology, you listen to these stories about, you know, Leda and the Swan or Jupiter and Danae, these are really very similar to modern haunting stories that have a sex connotation. Back then, they just blamed it on some god being naughty. So I think something has always existed throughout history. Whether or not it's what we call a ghost, I don't know.
Because energy never dies, right? I mean, what happens when you die? I don't believe in heaven or God, but I've been visited by two different ghosts and in two different places, and it was, you know.
Well, it's a phenomenon. Whether you want to call it a ghost or
you want to call it something else,
it's a phenomenon, and it's been a very real part of occult history for a very long time.
What about those shows like Ghostbusters and stuff? Like, you know, when they go into the houses with the meters, what do you think of that?
I don't watch them, so I may not.
How can you not watch those shows when you wrote them?
It's infotainment. I don't know that it's good occult science, but it's infotainment.
Bill Murray is not the greatest occult scientist of all time.
We're not talking about Bill Murray. We're talking about those ghost guys. Ghost hunters. It wasn't Ghostbusters.
Ghost hunters, American Hauntings, all those shows, yeah.
I'm so gullible.
So have you seen a ghost, Paul?
What's that?
Have you seen a ghost?
I was followed home by a ghost from Bolivia, actually, when I was working on the book. I had gone down there to photograph, and I had photographed a skull I apparently wasn't supposed to take photos of, and something took the negatives, and one of the sets of negatives disappeared, and the other set of negatives caught on fire.
I've been chased by some Bolivian demons, but that's another story. Well, Paul, where are you going to be Tuesday night? You're coming into give the lecture here in New York City. We're looking forward to see you. Tell us where we can go see you and get the real lowdown.
On Tuesday night at the Morbid Anatomy Library, for the anniversary of the Morbid Anatomy Library, I'm going to do a full lecture with a slideshow about the history of Sicilian sex ghosts, and I will fill you in about the castrating ghosts, the ghosts with doing naughty things with the candelabras, as well as the panty thieves.
And for those who are interested
in spectral sex, I think this will be a very illuminating lecture.
Well, we can't wait. Where can we find you on the interweb?
www.empiredelamorte, Empire of Death in French, empiredelamorte.com.
All right, awesome. Can't wait to see you Tuesday night.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, God. Judy, we have to have an exorcism on the show. When are we going to do that?
The rabbi won't do it. My friend Bob has been exorcised 3 times when he was growing up. His parents.
Whoa, did it take?
No.
He's been exorcised 3 times. I haven't been to the gym 3 times.
Zing. Where's our rim shot? Joe, you got to get on that.
Okay, we need to talk about these ghosts, but maybe we should talk to Joe and Nick about the demons over at Thing X. Really, you saw ghosts? Mm-hmm. I'm open-minded, I got to say. I don't pretend to be smart enough that I know the answers. I haven't seen a ghost, but I try to be agnostic about these things. Also comedy. I try to be agnostic about it.
Actually, I try to be cynical about it, but I'm always like, the thing is, I meet enough reasonable people who have had experiences with ghosts, or like I posted something on Facebook about Bigfoot, and I had two people who were level-headed, normal people who was like, listen, I don't talk about this with anybody, but I have seen a Sasquatch. And then they, like, one of them relayed this long story. The other one was like, I will not tell you on Facebook because I will sound crazy. I will wait until I see you in person, and then I will tell you the story. But
I've had two experiences with ghosts as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell me about yours.
Wow. You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was really young, and I was sleeping, and then I remember it got really cold. I woke up, and somebody sat on my leg. So there was, like, a pressure coming down on my leg.
Yep.
And I tried to scream, and nothing came out of my mouth.
That's a fairly common thing. I had that happen too. There's some term for it because they want to make it seem like it's not really a ghost when it's a ghost.
Right.
And so what was the other one?
It was just kind of this orb. I saw like a little orb of energy kind of floating around. Lights were off and I was on mushrooms.
No, I wasn't on mushrooms.
I was not on mushrooms. There was just like an energy orb. And when I noticed it, I remember it kind of flew away.
I saw like a Revolutionary War person came into my room. I was staying at a friend's house, and the house was such that there were grates. The heating was like came through grates in every room, so you could hear somebody cough in another room, which was really bad because I had to fart, and I was like, I can't fart. It's going to be broadcast through the house. But in the middle of the night, I woke up, and there was this guy that I could kind of see through in like this whole soldier outfit from another time, and he was just standing there, and I was like, but if I start screaming, like, everyone in the house is going to hear me. I'm going to sound like an idiot. So the next morning, I told my friend, and we had breakfast with his mom, and she goes, oh, yeah, Paul's dad killed himself in the garage, so he comes to visit sometimes. And I was like, yeah, no, it wasn't him. But I guess his house was like a ghostly portal.
Weird.
A haven.
Anybody here been abducted by space aliens?
No.
Not yet.
That you know of?
Hang on. Nope.
Check your butt.
I just checked my butt.
All right, guys. Okay, let's play a little game, you Onion headline writers, because I've been dying with the coverage of the Rolling Stones. I mean, it's just led to the worst writing of all fucking time. It's like unbelievable that no one can write one goddamn lead without trying to make some pun or play on words on a Rolling Stones song. To wit, this is a tame example, but today's New York Post: you can't always get what you want. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Is it all over now? Okay, baby, get off my cloud, etc. etc. So I want to see who can write the worst lead or headline for the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones reunion is as sweet as brown sugar.
Ah, nice one.
How about
for 50 years they've been playing rock and roll and I like it, but they still can't get no satisfaction.
Okay. It may not be for Angie, but it's for everyone else. Oh, God. What's a really melancholy one? I can't.
Cocksucker Blues?
Oh. Still singing the Cocksucker Blues after 50 years. Mick and Company, Mick and Company still singing the Cocksucker Blues after 50 years.
Or I paid $500 for this ticket. Boy, do I have the Cocksucker Blues.
Oh, man. So, anybody going to see the Rolling Stones?
No.
I've been thinking about it, and I've sort of been on the fence and watching their pay-per-view. And speaking of ghosts... Speaking of fucking ghosts, you know, a funny story. I went up to the Ziegfeld, you know, the wonderful Ziegfeld Theater, to see Planet of the Apes, the original Planet of the Apes. This is some months ago, about a year ago. And, even more than that, was when the Martin Scorsese Rolling Stones documentary came out. Boy, have they been over-documented or what, the Rolling Stones? And they came up on the screen, it was the trailer, and it was Mick and Keith coming out of his elevator, and me and my friend, we screamed. We thought it was Night of the Living Dead. And it was like, we were just horrifying. It's like, oh shit, it's the Rolling Stones movie. Okay, and that was like 5 years ago. It's not a good thing. It's not a pretty thing with the run.
You know, it's just, at some point in your career, don't you just want to be like, I mean, the Rolling Stones have made enough money. You don't, I mean, you
apparently
already have.
Not.
I can't, well... Fuck, man. I guess you have, when you have as many illegitimate children as Mick Jagger does, you just have to like support a lot of child payments.
He's like the Captain Kirk of rock and roll.
I would need like $2 million. I would just go. You know, and that's not even that much money now. I would just like be lazy.
Yeah, just like
learn a new language, learn to paint.
I mean, if you have to play music, just like sit back and, I mean...
Well, there's the part where they don't know what else to do.
Right.
You know, they just don't know what else to do. I don't think they can sit still.
You don't think they're addicted to the accolades? to the fan reaction?
It was just scary watching the clips from this tour. It's just, they're out there, they're doing it, but the tempos are all kind of whack. They're barely playing the guitars.
Really?
I mean, if you look at, Keith has been voguing with that guitar for years. He's not really chomping down on it. You know, if you look probably the last good tour they did in 78, they're really, really leaning into it with Whip Comes Down and Respectable and these sort of like nouveau punk songs.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're just sort of voguing it. They've got the phase shifters on, and a lot of it's coming out of like the keyboards or the bass really holding it together, and it's kind of sad, you know? I mean, Charlie's still there back doing it. I love Charlie Watts.
Sure.
And it makes hopping around and stuff, but...
He's going to break a hip.
I got to say, I mean, I know that you love the Rolling Stones, but I can't, like, it's this... The problem is they've been doing this for so long that, like, I can't do it. Like, I can't hear a Rolling Stones song without thinking, hearing cash register noises instead. It just, it just makes me crazy. Like, I don't know. And the thing is, I know so many of my friends just love the Rolling Stones, I can't get on board with it.
Not as bad as the Beatles, though, you have to agree with me.
It's weird. They at least broke up, and they didn't sing Harlem Shuffle. So that's the thing about them.
Well, listen. The Beatles have clearly made more bad records than good records.
Oh no, I guess I'm with you on that.
And I guess up to a point, the Stones made more good records than bad records.
Point has passed.
That ship has sailed.
So what do we have to look forward from you guys next? And because we only
thing
have a
X.
ThingX.com. We have a new next this coming week. You should check it out because we have like four. We actually have series, like video series, but we're debuting four of them next week. One of them is The Dad and the Dolphin, about a father who takes a dolphin to the city.
Dad of the Dolphin?
Dad and the
Dolphin.
It's
actually called All for Gregory.
Basically, All for Gregory is like about these parents who take the stuffed dolphin so that their dying son can live through this his toy dolphin.
A Flat Stanley kind of thing?
Yeah.
Haunted Cubicle, which is about a cubicle. That's haunted.
Right. We're big into ghosts. It's Thing X. There is the... Cosmic Togetherness Family, which is about a new cult and a new loser cult and the three losers that belong. And
then there's the Paint Boys. A crew of like four bad graffiti writers.
Coming soon, Mike and Judy in Outer Space.
And then Mike and Judy in Outer Space. That would be kind of fun. We should. Oh, we have a series that's coming up too. It's Space Miners. It's basically like it's these people that work on a space mine and they're sending out their video signals to Earth, but it takes like 2 years to get for the signal to get to Earth and 2 years back. So everything is delayed, and it's just this horrible. You know, it's so there's all this stuff. That
sounds kind of like the Heritage Radio Network.
Exactly, it's like it takes 2 years to get to your computers. So by the time you hear this, I'll be dead. No, I won't. I swear to God,
no.
I'll be alive in 2 years.
Well, this
no
is great.
Christmas
you guys,
tragedy.
You guys tweet and Facebook assiduously.
Yes,
arduously.
Yeah,
we're all over that place.
I'm ThingX Inc. at ThingX Inc. I'm at Joe Garden.
I am at Nikki Balls.
Nikki
Balls.
Well,
I don't think that's your last name.
That's, by the way, that's a Sicilian sex ghost. All right, love ThingX. And next week, Judy?
It's our big Christmas show. Last year's Christmas show was so much fun. We had Princess Superstar on.
I think we're going to have to revisit that. Superstar
Wrapping Live. Oh, definitely.
And happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Christmas.
Can we sing a copyright free Christmas
song?
Yes,
please.
Yeah, go for it.
What is a good one that doesn't have a copyright?
I think probably any of the old ones, like Jingle Bells, I don't think has a copyright.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Come on, Hanukkah boy.
All right. It's Mike Edison, the Mike and Judy Show, with Judy McGuire, Joe Garden, Nicello, Thing X. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks to Joe the Engineer. And everyone, God bless us all. See you guys next week.
Yay!
That was a great idea, Joe!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.